What I have to share with you today, it seemed like the last couple of words that God has been giving me has been very weighty and heavy in terms of what I feel before I deliver it. And it's very important because we are in such a critical time. I can't tell you, can't emphasize that enough. The times are critical. The time is short. Now, we are not in the tribulation period. We are even not in perilous times. But we are in the last days. And we are in a time where politically things are happening and weighing in the balance. Economically, things are happening and weighing in the balance. There's been like an unleashing of demonic things in general. And whether you know it or not, whether you choose to participate or not, we are all in a spiritual war. The Bible in Ecclesiastes says that to everything there's a season. The New American Standard says there is an appointed time for everything. And when we came into this year and the Lord spoke to us about Kairos, due season and appointed and set times, I rejoiced. I was like, yes, my season, due season. I didn't recognize that part of that due season and appointed time would be times of war. I was like, wait, oh, wait. So today, I'm not going to attempt, because when you watch Star Wars, Yoda say, don't try, just do. I'm going to speak to you today. I just want to talk to you. And everything I say is going to be from and out of a place of love. Because there's so much going on in our culture, in the world, and we have to be aware. We cannot afford to be unknowing or unaware of spiritual realities. We cannot afford to be unaware of spiritual activity that is happening around us. We cannot afford to be naive to spiritual laws and principles. Because in a spiritual war, you have to know laws and principles, and you have to know what's happening. Because what we see playing out in the flesh is the result of something that's playing out in the realm of the spirit. And I'm not trying to be too deep, but I just got to tell you the truth. Can I tell you the truth? And so a lot of times we think something is up with the person, but it's not the person. And what I find, too, in this season, we have to be very cautious of our own flaws and weaknesses because the enemy will try to use those things to bring disruption. And he will use the flaws of someone else, the ambitions of someone else, to try to bring distraction and disruption. Because spiritual warfare is different than dealing with a temptation, even though it involves temptation. See, Jesus dealt with temptation in the wilderness, and there are different forms of it. See, culture would tell you temptation is you look at somebody of the opposite gender, you think they're fine. But see, in the reality, temptation is, do you desire something, and do you desire to get it your own way versus trusting God to give it to you? And when you yield to that temptation, then you become once submitted to the tempter, and then taken out of warfare. Because here's the thing, let me define spiritual warfare to you, and then I'm gonna talk to you about different types of war. Because many people have thought and have taught spiritual warfare from a reactive perspective. They believe because they got attacked and all these different things start happening to them, then all of a sudden, I'm in a warfare, the devil's attacking me. If you are, and I used this example earlier, you remember how when we were in school, and then once in a while, you had to defend yourself on the playground, you know, in elementary school. If you waited till you got punched in the face to know that you were in a fight, you kind of too late. How many boxers wait until they get hit to be like, oh, wait, I need to glove up? And so too often, the body of Christ has taught warfare from a reactive standpoint, when warfare is more proactive than reactive. And being a kingdom advancer, we have to be awakened to war and be battle ready. Say battle ready. God is fortifying his people in this season and preparing us to engage in higher levels of warfare. So you think you're dealing with some warfare now, that thing is only going to continue to intensify regardless of who gets in the White House. And when this thing intensifies, the Lord wants you to be ready, not just to sustain and go through warfare, but to already be walking in victory over the warfare that comes. Because we don't fight from a standpoint of trying to win. We fight from the perspective that we've already won. And so spiritual warfare occurs when the kingdom of God extends its rule from heaven into the earth. It is when the kingdom advances by taking territory and establishing it as an extension of heaven. Spiritual warfare involves destroying the works of darkness by dismantling and uprooting and driving it out, bringing liberty to captives and allowing the kingdom culture to be prevalent. It involves acts of war that occur in the spiritual realm that impact the natural. And I know I said a lot, because here's the thing. Anytime you purpose to establish the kingdom of God in a particular area, you are engaging in warfare. Because you are taking territory. That's an act of war. When Russia tried to take Ukraine, it was an act of what? War. And so when we talk about taking territory and exercising dominion, we're really saying, sign me up, Jesus, send me to war. And see, but the enemy would try to fight back with confusion, division, misinformation. I'm going to pause on misinformation, because right now we live in a culture, you can go outside and say the sky is blue, somebody could say it's green, and then they would try to fact check you to make you say, nope, it wasn't blue, it was green. Because people are now painting narratives and trying to make you succumb to their false, crazy narratives just because they can articulate it intelligently. Intelligent foolishness is still foolishness. And so the next thing is diverted attention and distraction. Sickness, violence, whether it be physical, mental, or spiritual. Now, I'm just going to say what I say. Some people have been dealing with spirits physically hitting them, but have been ashamed to say it because it's not talked about in the church. And when people experience that, they don't want to talk about it. They don't share it with nobody because they don't think anybody's going to understand, because they think somebody's going to think I'm into this demon stuff. Everything of a spiritual nature ain't demonic. And if you're experiencing something demonic, the church should be the place where you can come talk about it and get help. I'm tired of people telling me they're getting choked by a spirit when they try to lay down and go to sleep and they think something wrong with them. But some people want to opt out of that. Some believers want to, I don't want to talk about that. I don't want to hear about that. Just tell me about Jesus. Tell me about going to heaven and I'm good. But we have done that, and I say we as the church, the body of Christ, has done that for centuries, and now we are behind the time, and God is accelerating our training, our development, and our revelation so we can be able to handle what's coming. Because some people are waiting on the rapture, but Jesus said, you need to occupy till I come. Occupy is a war term. Occupy means I took some land and now it's mine and I'm occupying it. The enemy also would try to fight back by attacking finances, trying to bring death, destruction, oppression, possession, demonic seeds, and word curses. And most people focus on the word curse and the oppression and all of that. But there are so many other things we have to be aware of. Because in warfare, you have to watch your thoughts. Because every thought that comes to you didn't originate from you and it didn't come from God. And if you accept it, it produces a feeling. And now this feeling produces a behavior. And now you're looking at the people you're in covenant community with sideways over a seed that was planted from the evil one. Because remember, Judas, before he betrayed Jesus, it said Satan put the thoughts in his heart. And then that thing took root to the point where it says Satan entered him. So let me tell you, this prophetic reality of us being in spiritual warfare, the spirit of confusion has also been released, and trying to confuse and trying to make clear paths look blurry. And one thing the Lord told me is that some believers are in boot camp, some are in training camp, and the others are in deployment. Some are in boot camp, some are in training camp, and others are in deployment. Let me tell you the difference. Boot camp, the purpose of boot camp, which is also called basic training, is the first phase of military training for new recruits. It's designed to turn a civilian into a soldier. You learn basic military skill, get discipline, physical fitness, and you get introduced to military life. So some believers are being introduced to what it's like to be in the kingdom. And then in basic training or boot camp, they're learning, wait a minute, I have to learn how to fight. David said this in Psalm 144, verse 1, in the King James. David said, blessed be the Lord, my strength, which teacheth my hands to war, my fingers to fight. Now, in the King James, it has teacheth instead of teaches. And I read that from the King James intentionally because ETH denotes the continuous action. You have to understand that God is going to, it's a continual process to learn how to fight spiritually. Some people try to formulate spiritual warfare and it's not working for them too well. Because I could tell you what the go-to is. Every time something happens and people, you know, stuff start jumping off and they're like, okay, we're in war. What they do? They go anoint the house and they start pleading the blood of Jesus. And I'm not saying any of those things are wrong if God told you to do it. But if you anointed your house or the place you live when you moved in, why you got to anoint it again? Do you think the first time didn't work? Just because the olive oil you used rubbed off don't mean the anointing rubbed off. When you dedicated your house and said, this is Bethel, the house of God, and a habitation of the angelic, heaven dwells here, The presence of God dwells here. My property is holy ground and is kingdom territory. Nothing demonic can step foot on my property. Somebody demon-possessed is going to get free by walking down the sidewalk in front of my house. And if they don't want to get free, they're going to cross the street. If you've done it once and you believe what you say, you must know that it's still in effect. The blood of Jesus is a weapon that we use, but you have to remember the blood of Jesus is already speaking for you. In Hebrews, it says the blood of Jesus is speaking even greater things than the blood of Abel. And Jesus already pleaded the blood for you. The scripture says, also in Hebrews, that he ascended and he put his blood on the heavenly altar once and for all. The blood has already been pleaded. So now when you fight, you don't have to do what Jesus already did. You thank him for what is already done. Y'all following me? And somebody watching online, please don't start texting me, telling me, I know you're supposed to plead the blood. If that's what God told you to do, then do that. I'm just telling you what God told me. Because sometimes we try to do God's part instead of doing our part. I give you another example. In Malachi chapter 3, when it talks about bring the entire tithe to the storehouse, and he'll open up the windows of heaven and all of that. Remember, he says, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. Some people will pray and try to rebuke the devourer of their finances. But the word clearly says that he rebukes the devourer. See, when you're in the military, you understand your role, your assignment. And you understand what's not your role and what's not your assignment. So the focus of boot camp is to emphasize physical conditioning. You learn the custom and the protocol. Some folks, well, nobody in this room, but some folks are still trying to learn protocol of the kingdom. Now, the next phase is training camp. Now, when God spoke this to me, I didn't even know the difference. I thought boot camp and training camp was the same thing. But training camp, the purpose of that, it's a more specialized and focused phase of training. It's where advanced skills are developed specific to the service member's job or role. See, training camp is when you get developed in the purpose, the destiny, and the calling, and your gifting. Because in the culture today, we see a conundrum where the enemy is trying to create a disdain for the apostolic and the prophetic, because Jesus is the cornerstone, but he said the body is built upon the foundations of the apostolic and the prophetic. But part of that disdain that's happening, and part of what the enemy's trying to take advantage of, is a lack of people operating after submitting to training camp. You have people with zeal, with gifting, and they run out and do something, and now they're making mistakes because they didn't submit to be developed. This is why mentorship and development is so important in the body of Christ. And this is why sometimes people rebel against it, because they've seen human people act human instead of acting holy. So they think every leader in the body of Christ got an issue because some have chosen to yield to their flesh versus the Spirit of God. Because popularity and money magnifies. It magnifies responsibility, it magnifies visibility, but it also will magnify your flaws if you don't deal with it. So many are in training camp where we learn our part. where we learn our metron, as Pastor Deborah would say it. We recognize our measure, and we get specialized training and development on how to function in that measure. But see, training camp will help you stop trying to operate in the measure that's not yours. Because what happens is, when we try to operate in a measure that's not ours, because we see people doing it and we like, that's cool, my gift is similar, I'm gonna do that too, thinking that we're gleaming from them, but we ended up trying to imitate, and that mistake causes us to not do our measure. Because every ligament must do its part. There are similar gifts, but they will all function differently according to how we've been designed. Madeline, you're called to reach people I'm not going to reach. That's why I need you to work your measure. Only the way that you can work it. Because only you can come in and be like, I shut that, and make somebody feel something. See, she just did it. So what I'm saying, when we work our measure and not allow this spirit to try to make us think we have to imitate someone else or be like someone else or try to do it like someone else, then the whole body then is edified because every ligament is doing its part. And I see that mistake upon mentors and mentees a lot. I see mentees try to do exactly what their mentor does. They start dressing like them. They try to talk like them. They even take their message. But just because someone is mentoring you doesn't mean you're supposed to be a carbon copy. One of the things that I tell leaders all the time is that when you're developing other leaders, you don't want to duplicate your leadership. You want to extend your leadership. Two totally different things. So in training camp, the focus is to be, your training is tailored specific to your role. So in training camp, you may be dealing with some stuff, or God may be stretching you or developing you, and you might be looking like, how come he ain't dealing with that? Or you ain't say that to him. Your role is different. That was like when Jesus told Peter to come on, and Peter was like, well, what about him? And Jesus was like, well, what is it to you? See, we have, yep, mind your business. Now, the duration of training camp depends greatly on the complexity of the role or skills that are being taught. So depending on the complexity of the call of God on your life, and depending on the complexity of his assignment for you as a kingdom advancer, that determines how long you are in training camp. And this is why you cannot become impatient. Because you don't want to abort the process of training camp, and then you go to war putting on Saul's armor when it hasn't been tested. Remember when David came and went to fight Goliath, they tried to put Saul's armor on him, and he said, I can't fight with these. It hasn't been tested. When they're talking about testing armor back then, it was, I didn't train in this. I'm not used to how this fits me. I can't move in this. I haven't worked with it. So what did David do? He used the weapons he had been trained with by God when he killed the lion and when he killed the bear. And people want to get deep, oh, 5 stones for the number of grace. I mean, you can shout that if you want to, but we just know he got 5 stones, and then we know he only needed one. He had 4 extra. And he didn't put on the armor of the dude where presence wasn't even there. In training camp, you learn not to take the framework or follow the people that don't have presence. See, people can have charisma, and in leadership, that's called pseudo-transformational leadership, when people have all the characters of a good leader that can draw people, but they don't draw them for the right reasons. Now, when you look at that biblically, they have no presence. They have personality. They have skill. Their gifting might even be working, because the gifts and callings of God are without what? Repentance. But if they don't have presence, it's like an uh-uh. Because we know people who release gospel music, and it flow and is gifted, but not anointed. And there's no presence on it because of how they living in the background behind closed doors. But in training camp, you learn. This is specific to me. This is how I function. And this is how I can go out with presence. Not my presence, but his. Because I'm a kingdom advancer. Say, I'm a kingdom advancer. But there's been a clarion call for the body of Christ to assemble for war. A lot of people have been like, wake up to the, but you know, they be in prayer screaming, wake up. The trumpet has sounded. And we cannot afford to be fighting with one hand behind our back. Now, the next phase is deployment. Now, when the kingdom of God is built upon the apostolic, not person or denomination, but function, why would God build the kingdom and say it's built upon a term that refers to a military general? Because the kingdom of God, when it's established, it engages in war. Now, the next phase is to be sent. That's why we teach the whole body of Christ. We are prophetic people, meaning every believer has the ability to prophesy. Every believer is not a prophet, but every believer has the ability to prophesy. And some believers have the gift of prophecy. Now, the Bible tells us we should desire spiritual gifts and say we should desire to prophesy because it builds up people. But it doesn't tell us to desire to be a prophet. And I'm saying this to help everybody, because I see this online all the time. I get on YouTube and everybody got a word. Everybody had a dream about somebody. I dreamed about this prophet, or I dreamed about this pastor, I dreamed about this politician. And in my mind, when I see some of that, I'm like, how you dream about a prophet that doesn't know you? How is he going to get the word? How is he going to be edified? Do you know people who know his people? But again, that comes from a lack of development and maturity. Because not all of them are false prophets. But see, the thing is, we desire the gift. We desire to operate in it sharply because it builds the body of Christ and it wins souls. If you are not born or sent to be a prophet, because Ephesians, let's go there. I want to show you something. I think it's in Ephesians 4, Pastor Deborah. I love Pastor Deborah because she is like, you say something, she'd be like, it's at this verse right there. She is the consummate teacher. Here's the thing. When we understand this, it helps us work on measure and operate in our gifts. I've had people, and I learned this personally, and like I said, I'm talking to you to help you, everybody watching online and everybody in the room. Because when I started functioning in my gift, people started calling me apostle. They'd be like, Apostle, Apostle, Apostle. And I just say, thank you for the compliment. And I operate in the apostolic, but I'm not going to take upon myself to say I'm an apostle. I leave that to my spiritual father, my apostle, to recognize that. And I had that conversation. Because when you take upon something that is not your calling, you not only invite the warfare that comes with it, you invite a challenge from the demons that oppose apostles. And sometimes people are dealing with warfare that is not, that they're not even supposed to deal with, because they try to take upon something that's not their calling. Because every dimension and level and assignment in the body of Christ has its own degree of warfare. So you have to be very careful with this thing, because this can be, this is very serious. Not can be, it is serious. I've seen people, and this is where church folks in the past start talking about special anointing, because they were grasping this concept, but not fully. Because there is no such thing as a special anointing. There's only one anointing, and it's all special. And when people say, oh, don't, you can't handle this demon because it's too high up for you. Well, I've heard people teach that. But Jesus says, I've given you power over every power of the enemy. But what happens is when people engage in warfare beyond their level of authority or their calling, they then experience an intensity of warfare that they initially are not able to handle. And God, by his grace, will deliver them. But you don't want to fight a fight you ain't supposed to fight. Because the folks who wasn't supposed to fight Goliath, they wouldn't stepping up. You have your own Goliath. Because in Ephesians 4, verse 10, no, I'll start at verse 11. Because this really ain't part of my message, but it's part of my message. You know what I'm saying? Because I want to show you Numbers 33, and I don't have a lot of time. But, only got 5 minutes? Jesus. And so it says, and he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as pastors and teachers. One translation say he gave some to be. So if you aspire for an office that you have not been given as, then you're trying to be something that you are not. And you are trying to change your DNA, thinking that God made a mistake. Doesn't that sound like that same spirit that's trying to attack folks and make them question their physical gender? That shape-shifting spirit, can I just be real with it? That's the same spirit that would try to motivate a person to shift their DNA to think that they are given to be a thing that they weren't sent to be. To get you out of your measure. And to prevent you from functioning in the gifting and calling that God has on your life. You'll think, this is what I'm called to do. But you'll be doing something for God instead of doing something with God. This is why we have to be sensitive to these type of things and recognize this is warfare. I'm a soldier. Remember the experienced saints used to sing that? I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. And they'll say, I got my war clothes on. So you have to recognize your placement in the army. Some folks shoot the guns. Some folks man the drones. Some folks are the medics. Some folks are doing cyber stuff. But when it all comes together, the victory is assured because we're working as one body. So in deployment, and this is what happens to you when God puts you in a neighborhood, when he gives you a career or has you start a business, you get deployed. Some people think, well, I'm going to go to this job, I'm going to make some money, and then I'm going to deal with real ministry. Real ministry is where God sent you that morning when you had to drive through traffic, beeping at the people who won't go and because the light is green, and you're like, beep, beep, come on. Real ministry is occurring with the people you are seeing 40 hours a week. Them folks who don't know Jesus, who's coming in tripping, and now you are the light and the salt for their unsaltiness. Or you're in this company and they want to make a decision and you're like, wait, 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 you shouldn't do that because the Lord is unctioning you. That's deployment. Say deployment. And sometimes you will get deployed as a combat operation. You wonder why you get this job that you praise God for it, and all of a sudden, you're like, what in the world? You get there, and after your 7 days of loving it, you wonder why it seemed like you got thrown in a lion's den, and you're like, Lord, deliver me from these uncircumcised Philistines. Because he will put you in a conflict zone because he has equipped you to overcome the conflict and bring peace. Because you'd be like, where's the peace of God? In you, and you need to bring it. The next purpose of deployment is for peacekeeping and support. Sometimes, you know, we love those jobs where God will send you to a place and it's already peace be still. And you'll be like, thank you for leading me beside the still waters and restoreth my soul. But the deception could be there is if you don't think of it as deployment. If you let your guard down because it's so peaceful, you'll forget that you are there as a stabilizer and maintainer of the peace. Y'all feeling me? Oop, my time is up. Can I have like 5 more minutes? Okay, thank you. The next one was training. Sometimes God would send you a place for training. God will put you on a job or in a place of employment, and you'll be like, what in the world? But you're there to learn. Robert Kiyosaki says that you learn to become a millionaire on somebody else's dime. I learned how to lead and run a business when I had to work at a Subway restaurant. I had to learn how to interview, hire, and fire. I had to get comfortable with letting folks go. Giving them the love shove. Because here's the thing. When you're building a team, I don't know why I'm saying this part, but when you're building a team, you got to look for competence, character, and chemistry. And sometimes people view competence and character higher than chemistry. I had to learn that because you know what? My next place of employment, when I had to interview people, they didn't even teach me how to interview. But I learned it at the previous job because I was forced to interview people. And at that point in time, I was managing, and I'm hiring a bunch of high school kids, so you know it's a quick turnover, because they're like, no, I'm not coming to work today. I'm going to go gaming. Sometimes God will put you in a place for your development. Development of your skill set. Development and sharpening of using your gift in other spheres of influence outside of the church four walls. He will give you opportunity to speak a word of wisdom, to speak prophetically to people without you thinking you have to say, thus saith the Lord, and I hear the Spirit of God saying. Because in the marketplace, they don't care about that. You just say what the Lord has said and allow him to do what he do. And they'll come back and be like, well, how'd you know that? How'd you figure that? Because I'm telling you, there are things happening and people who don't know Jesus don't know what to do. So he's going to deploy you as his representative that can hear his voice. One with a prophetic gifting who can give the unction of God in the moment. That could save jobs. So I believe some companies are not going to shut down because he put a believer there. Now, the next one is occupational or deterrence. It's when you maintain a military presence in certain regions to deter aggression or instability. So God would dispatch you, and the first deterrence from something popping off is the fact that you were there. So God may send you somewhere, and you may be wondering, Lord, why am I here? What am I supposed to do here? Fact is, you're just supposed to be there. Because your presence equals his presence. And darkness flees from the light. And Jesus said, you are the light of the world. So sometimes he would deploy you just to be there. And they'd be like, I don't know why it's so calm when you're here. Or I just like to come and sit in your office. I used to have teachers like that. They'd be like, I just like coming and sitting in your office. Part of that was because I saturated presence. Because my friend Eric is here, and I still have the project that he recorded live over 20, was it 20 years ago? 15 or so years ago? It was a long time. Where it was double-digit years, because I played it when I was a teacher, and then when I became a principal, and it's playing in my house now still, on repeat. That thing saturated presence. And people would come in and sit down. It had nothing to say. They would just come and sit. God would minister to them. Then they'd get up, be like, okay, I'll see you later. Okay. Sometime I don't even have to be in the office. I come back and I see people in there sitting. Because of presence. I'm going to have to continue this later. But if you look at Numbers 33, it talks about when you go into the land, what you're supposed to do. Numbers, I give you that too. Numbers 33, only two verses, 50 and 52. 50, 51, 52. You can look at that. We'll probably use that as a point of discussion later. Because when you go into the land, which is the place God deploys you, is not just your promised land. Where everywhere God deploys you is your promised land, even though whether you think so or not. There are certain things that you do spiritually that are happening spiritually simply because you're there. But the way to make sure those things happen is you have the focus on being a kingdom advancer. Amen. So I'm going to give you three reflection questions. Don't worry about writing them down. I'll email them to you. Pastor Deborah, I don't think you had these. So in this season of warfare, ask the Lord to show you how to fight in this season. How should I be fighting? Because every battle has a different strategy. You don't see Joshua marching around any other cities after Jericho. The second one, ask Holy Spirit to help you be aware of the battles you have been called to engage in. Don't let the battle happen around you and you not be the one to step up and slay Goliath. And the third one, ask Holy Spirit to help you stay focused on your priorities and stay focused on the assignment. Hallelujah. You receive this word?